Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Shoftim, Chapter 9. The Shofet we're going to visit today is not really a savior in any manner or form, because Avimelech, the man who has named himself Avimelech, my father is a king, is in fact a despot, an evil man, not somebody who is there to serve the people at all. If you recall, in our previous chapter, we read that Gideon had a Pilegesh, had a concubine, and she had a son, and his name, Vayasem et Shemo Avimelech, he names himself Avimelech. We're now going to see in chapter 9 that he goes, Avimelech ben Yerubal, he gives himself a very regal name, and he goes to Shechem, to his mother's family, and he says to them, do you really want Gideon's 70 sons to rule after you? I can rule after you. Uzachartem, and remember, ki atzmechem uvasarchem ani, I'm part of you, mishpocha, I am your family. And what he does is he rallies support from the people of Shechem until they all support him, saying, Achinuhu, he is our brother. In fact, we have this number of 70 coming again because he gives, they give him 70, you know, seed capital money, 70 pieces of silver from some sort of temple there, Baal Brit. And he uses this money to employ Anashim Rekim Upochazim, to have bodyguards or maybe some sort of like heavies, people who are going to make him look very important, but violent people. And they go to Ophrah, to the house of Gideon with the 70 sons, where the 70 sons live. And they kill all of Gideon. He kills all of his half-brothers. Vayarog etechav, b'nei Yerubal, shivim ish, al even achat. On one single stone, he executes them all. And then there's one son, Yotam. How appropriate, Yotam, like the word Yatom, an orphan. One is left, and he hides. And then we see that all of the people of Shechem decide that they are Vayamlichu. They are going to anoint Avimelech as their king. And here we have one of the most fabulous Mishalim parables of the entire Bible. As Yotam stands at a distance at the top of Har Gerizim, I love this mashal because the trees which it talks about are all around the hills of where I live in Alon Shvut. And in fact, he talks about three trees which are very productive. The first, of course, is the olive tree, which is regal, which provides oil, which is used for cooking, for energy, for lighting. And the way he describes it is Yechabdu Elohim va'anashim. It honors God by lighting the menorah and men. Then the next one is the te'ina, the fig tree, which is a huge tree, a majestic tree. You can sit under it. And of course, it is motki. It has both nourishment and sweetness. They use figs for sugar in the ancient world. And this is also a very, very big tree, but it loses all of its leaves in the winter. The third tree, of course, is the Geffen. And the Geffen, again, what does it say? My wine, Mesameach Elohim va'anashim. Again, they used to use wine on the Mizbeach, so that's Mesameach Elohim. It makes God glad. Nowadays, we use it for Kiddush and things. Va'anashim, and of course, people enjoy drinking wine. But of course, the Geffen is of a lower status because it's not as a Geffen doesn't grow as old as the olive tree, and it's not as tall as the fig tree. In fact, it trails on the ground. Whichever way, he compares these three trees and he makes a wonderful parable and says, all the trees decide who will rule over us. And first they go to the olive tree, and the olive tree said, you know, I've got better things to do. And then they go to the fig tree. And he also says, you know, I'm busy nourishing everybody and giving out my sweetness. And he goes to the Geffen, and the Geffen says, you know, have I stopped giving my wine? And in the end, who do they go to? The thorn bush. And the thorn bush, they say to him, rule over us. And the thorn bush says, if you really want to anoint me as a king, then come and take protection in my shade. Of course, the irony is very, very strong because the thornbush doesn't have any shade. All the other trees do. And he says, and if not, if you don't want to rule me to rule over you, then let fire come out from the thorns and let it consume even the cedars of the Lebanon. And this is what Yotam says to the people of Shechem. What do you think you're doing? You've got so many wonderful options. You've got other leaders who could really, really provide for you. But they don't want to rule because they've got better things to do. And you're taking this thorn bush who can't even protect you. All that's going to come out of him is, of course, fire. And indeed, this is exactly what happens with Avimelech as the chapter progresses, where we read in Pasuk Chafbet, not Vayishpot, or not Vayimloch, but Vayasar Avimelech al Yisrael Shalosh Shanim, for 3 years. He lords it over Am Yisrael, really only the people in the north, in the area of Shechem, but in the end, Vayishlach Elohim Ruach Ra'ah Bein Avimelech Uvein Balei Shechem. Remember that Ruach Ra'ah, we're going to see it again with Shaul, but he sends an evil spirit between him and the people of Shechem. When the people of Shechem realize that he's not really ruling and he doesn't have their needs in mind, in fact, what he's actually interested in is only in himself. And so it happens that was one particular man, Gaal ben Eved, comes along and expresses his revulsion at the fact that Avimelech is not really ruling in their interests, and gains the support of the people of Shechem, who express their dissatisfaction with Avimelech. What we then read is a complete and utter bloodbath. Avimelech, who's meant to be ruling the town, instead turns against the very people who he is meant to be protecting. And we have massacre after massacre. First, Gaal ben Eved and his men. Second, the people of Shechem. Third, the people in the Migdal of Shechem, which he burns in fire. How poignant as far as the Mashal of Yotam goes. It is after these three attacks in Shechem that he goes to another town nearby called Tevetz. And it is here that as he proceeds to attack the tower, a woman throws a heavy stone on his head and kills him. Of course, Avimelech, being the showman that he is, says, oh, how could it ever be that a woman would kill me, and make sure that his armor bearer finishes him off, so that, God forbid, nobody should say that a woman killed Avimelech. Where does this leave us? Where does this leave us? Maybe this is another commentary about the dangers of kingship. I mean, Gideon was almost king. He was a whisker away from being king. And yet, look, his son becomes a despot. He becomes an evil ruler who's only interested in himself, who murders 70 of his siblings so that he can rule alone, and then doesn't care for the people at all, is only interested in his own power and greed. And is this possibly a footnote which tells us that we should be very, very cautious before we establish a monarchy? Is that what it's saying? Whichever way, this is certainly a cautionary tale about selecting leaders who are self-centered, conniving, power-hungry, tyrannical, and have no interest in the good of the nation. On that sad note, we will leave it for today and see you tomorrow.